dear colleagues, thank you
d'avoir pris le temps cet après-midi,
taking the time to be with us this afternoon
in order to échanger sur les différentes propositions
about the different proposals that you have made
and
take stock of the situation as it was
aboutir à
fed with your remarks on the future of Europe and the aim is
entre nos parlements et le Parlement européen. Alors vous avez été extrêmement nombreux à, et nous vous en remercions à nous faire remonter un certain nombre de propositions
the English interpretation,
interpretation
should be working.
Enrichi. Nous n'allons évidemment pas nous prononcer sur l'ensemble des contributions que vous nous avez faites. Est-ce que vous pouvez s'il vous plaît couper les micros pour ceux qui ne merci beaucoup. Nous n'allons évidemment pas nous exprimer sur l'ensemble des propositions qui ont été faites tant il y en a.
We are not going to go into details about each of the proposals because there are too many. But we would like you to be able to voice your opinion and.
Et obtenir le consensus le plus large parce que je crois que dans les temps que nous vivons face à la retour de la guerre en Europe, eh bien, vous nous entendez bien? Je vois le collègue faire un... Non. Est-ce que vous m'entendez?
Non.
Oui, ok. Non, parce que je voyais un collègue qui manifestait, qui faisait le bruit, comme, qui montrait qu'il ne nous entendait pas. Donc voilà le chemin que nous proposons aujourd'hui avec le collègue Rapin.
Je vois des messages, Pierre-Alexandre, des gens qui n'entendent pas. En fait, c'est parce que dans l'application Zoom, quand on demande la translation, il y a une touche qu'il faut éteindre parce qu'on peut avoir les deux voix, la voix originale et puis la voix de traduction. Donc le principe, c'est qu'il faut il faut couper la voix originale. Dans l'application.
Ok.
Je pense que tu peux y aller si mon message a été compris, ça devrait aller.
Je crois que c'est bon, mais j'étais arrivé, cher Jean-François, au bout de mon propos et du chemin que nous. On se proposait de suivre aujourd'hui. Je te laisse écouter un mot si tu le souhaites.
Oui.
I'm finished. Yes, thank you very much, Pierre-Alexandre. I hope that the technical problems are dealt with. Now, this work started a year ago. With the citizens first and then fortunately, the national parliaments managed to integrate the conference about the future of Europe, and we could participate, and the proposal was to draft a joint proposal between the European Parliament and the national parliaments, and I think that was a good idea. And the objective is extremely ambitious. So I am aware of that because it's quite a thing to reach a consensus because there are, of course, different opinions around the table. There are microphones on and therefore the interpreter cannot hear the speaker well. So the text, the final text will be a compromise, of course. This work started with Guy Verhofstadt and Jean-Alexandre Anglade, which we continued at the Parliament in the last few days. And this has taken place in parallel to negotiations that took place within the European Parliament as well with the colleagues. So we all worked towards a compromise, and this was done in total transparency, you were informed of all the amendments. Please switch off all the other microphones.
Je crois qu'on a...
So, please, could you all make sure that you switch off your microphones when you're not speaking? Otherwise, the interpreters cannot hear the speakers properly. So, to conclude, this is a huge opportunity for us to work together. And if we don't manage to do it, the risk... It's not a major risk, but the risk is for the European Parliament to draft its own text and for us not to make our voice heard. And we know that we want the European Parliament to defend our ambitions as well. So this is what is at stake here. And I know that this position is shared by my colleague, Mr. Anglade. Even if we come from different political backgrounds, we have the same vision and we agree on the way to proceed.
Merci, merci, cher Jean-François. Alors, on a déjà plusieurs demandes de prise de parole.
Thank you, Jean-François.
Une demande de prise de parole de Monsieur Schaeffer et ensuite de Monsieur Kubauer.
The floor, Mr. Schaeffer, and then Mr.
Monsieur Schaeffer.
Thank you, dear colleagues. I'm speaking from the German Bundestag, and I'm very thankful that a large number of countries constructively support the common paper of national and European parliaments. From my point of view, it's extremely important for us as MPs all over Europe to get results in this phase of the conference. All of us should be willing, please, to find compromise and abstain from fundamental vetoes. The war of aggressions between two sovereign states in the middle of Europe is a historical seizure. Europe now must stand together, and this conference is just the right instrument to do so at in the right time to open a window of opportunity for the whole continent. Dear colleagues, we must follow the shock with swift action and pave the way for a Europe that is up to the cries and challenges of our time. Let us speak in the sense of our citizens, in the sense of their demands, and let them be followed by deeds. The need for this is greater than it has been for decades, and we are in a position to do so. Let us not let this opportunity slip by, and let's adopt a paper which is worthy of this conference. A paper that is worthy for the future of Europe. Thank you.
Merci, cher collègue, pour vos...
Thank you, dear colleague. Günther Schipum has also asked for the floor. Günther.
I'll try my very best. Hopefully, I can be understood. Perhaps somebody can give me a signal. Thank you very much. I want to strongly emphasize what my colleague, Mr. Schaeffer, said. I think it is a huge opportunity that we have at the moment, and we should use this opportunity. And that means I have understanding also for other parliaments which are refusing at the moment because they don't see a fully approach to their position. But on the other hand, we should ask ourselves, which I'm wondering, which will be the alternative if we don't find a position? Which will be the alternative? The alternative will be that the European Parliament goes ahead and we find the positions of the European Parliament, but not any position of the national parliament. And this is a risk. And it was mentioned before by my French colleagues, and I fully emphasize what they said. So let's use this opportunity for the national parliaments. And then, in my opinion, it means also strengthening the principle of subsidiarity. We need also, in my eyes, the green card. We should also look that we have more joint hearings with the European Parliament. But we should play a role in the future. And that's what we try all together, all the 6 months when we have our COSAC conference. And all the 6 months, also the COSAC chairperson's meeting, not to forget. But the risk is now that we have no position, and this cannot be a real alternative. Please, my colleagues, I really ask you to look if perhaps an amendment to this letter could be an alternative for you, where you can define your positions. But to say nothing is not a real solution in my eyes. Thank you very much.
Merci beaucoup, chers collègues, pour vos propos. La parole est maintenant à Madame Kaminga.
Mr. Kaminga.
Yes, thank you very much. And thank you also for giving us the floor and having this meeting today. I must say, other than the previous speakers, I mean, I agree with them that it would be wise to have a statement as national parliaments, but I must say I have great hesitations to have a joint statement with the European Parliament, especially if you see the wideness of the content. I also have hesitations about the timing, because we always said that it was first up to the citizens. I would find it more logical that we are waiting for the conclusions of the citizens, and then on the basis of the conclusions put forward by the Secretariat, we then have a common position. So that's about the timing. Then if I look at the content, and I mean, we are sitting here together now. I think that's very good. But in my view, we haven't spent as much time as, for example, the European Parliament members have done. And that makes it difficult for us, I think, to have a common position on some of these items, because they go very far. And I think on some of these, we already know that even within member states itself, there is no consensus. So I also have some hesitation about content. What could be a solution is that we just focus either on a national parliament statement or either on our positions and on the focus on things that concern us, that are within our mandate, that is about our position and strengthening that. I think the previous speaker said something about a green card. The previous speaker said something about the subsidiarity principles. I think if we just focused on that, we could maybe get consensus, but even then. But if I look now at the content, the timing, and also at my own mandate, I think it's going to be difficult to find consensus. And I must say, I think we also need some more time, because I know that the European Parliament has been pushing this for a year. And we have only had several conversations, some conversations and some in COSAC, some in this meetings, and I think there are different participants. So I'm all for making a joint statement for national parliaments, but I think we should take a bit more time then, and I'm hesitant about which topics then we address. Thank you.
Thank you very much, our Belgian colleague.
Yes, thank you, President, the colleagues. First, I want to say again that I regret it that we only discuss now in two, three languages. When we want to discuss with all the European citizens, we have to do it in all the languages of the European Union. I said it already different times, and I regret it that it's impossible to have the interpretation in all languages. Then I fully support the call for a stronger role for the parliaments in the European decision-making process. In line with the principle, again, of subsidiarity, European Union needs to be built bottom-up. That is what the citizens want. And it's therefore crucial to fully involve our parliaments. They are the true representatives of the citizens. But I cannot support the text in its current form. First, I want to underline that the conference does not have any competence to amend the treaties. We should therefore not talk about constitutional monument or transfer of competence for example, in the field of health, taxation, or common defense. And I insist to adapt every reference to national parliaments into national and regional parliaments. Many countries in European Union, national, are federal or decentralized. And for example, Belgium, every federated entity has international and European competence. And also in other federal countries, it is the same way. So I want to respect Declaration 51 for the Lisbon Treaty, and it's hence a legal necessity to adapt text in this sense. So to respect constitutional system of Belgium, but of other federal countries in the European Union, as it is required by Article 4.2 of the Treaty of the European Union. And we also need to specify how national and regional parliaments can submit questions to the Commission. I propose to limit this right to the chair of the European Affairs Committee of the national and regional parliaments. In addition, we need to supplement the green card system and maybe also a red card system, allowing us to support, but also to block some proposals of the Commission. I do not believe in the harmonization of EU electoral law, and I cannot accept mirroring the role of Commission President as Council President, as this would gravely impact the institutional balance in the European Union. I debated a lot with citizens, and no one is asking that. And I see that many other representatives share my concerns, from Slovenia, but also Austria, Finland, and other EU countries as well. It's important that we take them into account. The current text does not reflect the views of many citizens or many chambers, let alone of the representatives of national and regional parliaments. Thank you very much to take into account these remarks. Thank you.
Merci. La parole est maintenant à Madame Aznalka.
Thank you. And I give the floor to Mrs. Aznalka Juhász from Hungary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We cannot support the current draft statement. Mostly it contains, unfortunately, not the voice of the European citizens, but the European Parliament. We support some important element connection with Ukraine and also support the initiative on enhancing the role of national parliaments in the EU decision-making process, including the so-called yellow and green card procedures. And I would like to express concerns about those points of the draft statement, which intend to change the current division of competences between the Union and its member states, a view to the direction of a federative Union. I also not support the introduction of transnational lists during the European parliamentary elections and the application of the so-called Spitzkandidaten process, as well as the proposal on the right of legislative initiative of the European Parliament. We also not agree with merging the role of the President of the European Council and the European Commission. Also, we have serious concern and not supporting abolishing unanimity regarding the Union decision making, in particular in the field of foreign affairs. Reaffirms that the reform of the European Union requires unanimity of the member states. And we think that it's deemed necessary to keep the current division of competences regarding asylum and migration policy, including the respect for member states' competences. And finally, regret that the sufficient time has not been provided to the public debate of the draft statement. And finally, considering that the draft joint statements, if and when adopted, should refer only to such points which do not result in treaty changes, circumventing rules laid down in the treaties. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much. Christian Buschmann from Austria.
Thank you, Chair. Can you hear me? Thank you, Chair, and dear colleagues. First of all, I would like to thank the Chair for a lot of work that has been done in the past. As a member of a national parliament like you, I think it's rather important to find a compromise on this text, on this statement. And I think it would be a clever idea to focus on the important points. I think it's rather important for us to focus on proportionality, on subsidiarity. It was already mentioned that the green card is a good idea. And it's also important that we as national parliaments not only follow the ideas of the European Parliament, but stands for our own ideas. In this statement, a lot of issues mentioned which are problematic for national parliaments, so as also for the Austrian Bundesrat. And therefore, I think we should just focus on the main points and leave some points behind where we cannot find a compromise. But I follow the idea to have a common statement and I follow the idea to try to find it together with the European Parliament. But if it's not possible, we should do it as the representatives of the national parliaments. Thanks.
Merci, cher collègue.
Thank you very much, dear colleague.
Nous avons une demande de, du
There's
collègue
request,
italien Matteo Bianchi.
Coming from Matteo Bianchi. Thank you very much, Chair. I would like to echo my colleagues. I believe that this draft proposal requires more time. We need to reflect more on this draft statement because I don't think that we agree on all the points. I don't think that it reflects the views of all national parliaments, but it's important to show a common position as national parliaments. We can try to make some ambitious proposals and have an ambitious contribution. There are two issues regarding subsidiarity. We need to look at the relationship that the national parliaments have with the regions and with the local authorities as well. We need to look at the national competencies too. Member states need to keep these competencies. It's a matter of subsidiarity. So I think that we need more time to reflect on this draft statement if we wish to reach a common position, which might be useful, I believe. I think we need to set some reasonable timeline to make sure that we can reach an agreement and have a real contribution to this Conference of the Future of Europe. Thank you very much, Mr. Nick Prebil. You have the floor.
Yes, thank you very much, my colleagues. Yes, first of all, the Slovenian Parliament, the delegation of National Council and National Assembly sent their opinion on this matter. And as we said, we think that this joint statement that it was presented to us does not reflect the common position of the national parliaments at least. And of course, we would like to see the results and the last proposals of citizens before, and then we can make our statements on the position on those proposals. You know, I must underline here that the Conference of the Future of Europe has been conceived as a process centered on citizens and their expectations and their recommendations concerning the future of Europe. And I think that we are going now against what the three presidents made in their joint statement, because they urge not to predetermine the outcome of the conference. And we are doing just that with this statement. So, I don't know if this statement is also enough transparency, because you know we are This is one thing that we urge everybody else to do it. So we believe that, as I said, goes against the rules of procedure at that time. Of course, I think it would be great to reach the consensus, but I think that we cannot get the consensus if the statement has the proposals of institutional and electoral changes. And we all known before the start of this conference that there are at least 10 countries, member states, that are against these changes. So maybe for not to be just against everything, I think that the declaration of national parliaments has to be a little bit different of, or if it is a joint declaration, we have to reach what is possible for national parliaments also, because now this statement has a lot of proposals that we all know European Parliament wanted to push through to the national component of the Conference of the Future of Europe. And I think that this is not good enough for what we're trying to reach with the conference. So we are trying to listen to citizens. And I think that it's of better importance that we see what their proposals are, and then we can make a statement about what we agree and what we don't. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I give the floor to Gaspar Pazinski.
Thank you very much, President. Thank you very much, all of you, that we have now today this important meeting, because that's true that it was quite unexpected, this draft that was sent to us some days ago, because it concerned subjects that, from our point of view, weren't really the main issues that the citizens shown us during the conference, or they weren't even the issues that were wider comment between the at least national parliament members. So it was from the beginning a bit strange from us that it focused on these institutional changes that most of them would need change of the treaties, which we oppose, because we think that, well, we are sure that right now there are a lot of loopholes during the EU functioning. For example, well, we can all see how the strategic and security policies work out about the war, Russian invasion in Ukraine. There were, during the years, a lot of loopholes. For example, the trade arms embargo, which was obviously crushed by many members of the EU. So right now there are a lot of things that should be changed and just should be better supervised. But the other thing that is also maybe even more important is that, well, European Union, like my friend from Hungary said just a few minutes ago, is a organization, international organization, based on sovereign countries. And those proposals which are which were given as in written, they are just going too far. They are giving more and more power to the European institutions. European institutions, which are very often, especially European Parliament, haven't got the right procedures to, for example, fight with Russian lobbies. More and more articles in European press are showing that, unfortunately, a lot of European politicians from very different political environments, from left, from right side, are unfortunately paid off by some strange societies connected to Russia. And well, from our point of view, it's just, sorry for that. It is just dangerous. First of all, we need to think how to strengthen up our institutions right now for them to be able to deter dangers that are just outside, and now we know it very, everybody should know it, and everybody sees that they are for real. We need to tighten up the procedures to make sure, for example, that Russian lobby or Chinese lobbies are not welcome by the European Union institutions as well as in the European Parliament. Then maybe we'll be able to think about making some changes in the treaties. But right now, from our point of view, it is impossible. And like I said earlier, European Union is an organization based on sovereign countries. It's not a super state. Most of the peoples of European countries are against building a super state. If somebody wants to build a super state, it's your will, but not with Poland. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Augusta Montarelli from Italy. Thank you very much, Chair. I read the draft proposal and I would like to make some comments related to the fact that this draft doesn't necessarily reflect everyone's opinion. We need to look into more details, a certain number of points. Unfortunately, the sound wasn't good enough to allow for proper interpretation. Thank you very much. And I give the floor to Mr. Dimitris Kairidis.
Are concerned, from what I understand from our own working group and the interaction with them for quite some time, their proposals tend to be even more forward-looking and ambitious than this compromise document. Now, I do have a few suggestions here and there, especially on the issue of unanimity and on the issue of migration, which I have dealt as a co-chairman of the working group on migration. But I don't want to take your time now, simply to say that obviously it will be a big loss and a big failure if we don't coalesce towards a common position, especially at this time of risk and a great peril. And if we don't come stronger out of this exercise with some consensus. So I do herald the work that has been done to put together this framework, that is this paper, that is a framework, general enough to be able to have a broader agreement, I would hope. Thank you.
Merci. Il y a Axel Schaeffer qui a redemandé la parole.
Yes, please, dear colleagues. Let's debate now in March. We are not before the 24th of February. So we have also to change our debate. That's the first. The second is, please don't discuss about points which were not tabled on these proposals. Nobody wants a super state. And it is not helpful to repeat every time sovereignty, sovereignty, sovereignty of member states. What does it mean? It means at the end, we don't need a European unification. That's a problem. So I will strengthen my position very, very
very, very frankly. We need stronger role of national parliaments, and we need a stronger role of the European Parliament together. This is a basic of our decisions. The second point is there are no proposals, no proposals in this paper which were against the proposals of the people. There is nothing where people said we don't want this. And the third point, of course, we can decide in our different party families about a so-called Spitzenkandidat. We don't need the treaty change. We need nothing for this. We need only a position of different parties. But this is not what we have to decide now. And the last point, please, I have nothing heard from colleagues from France, from Spain, from Portugal, so on. Let's have a look on our own history and our own progress we made in European unification. I'm a member since 25 years. We started in the area of Mitterrand and Helmut Kohl, and we started with a fundamental majority decision, a majority decision among member states, head of states, 7-3, to start with an intergovernmental conference in 1986. It was a majority vote against Great Britain and Ireland and third member state, maybe Greece. And at the end, it was a success of a conference. But we can't start with ideas where all can agree, and when all can agree, no one can agree. So we need, of course, compromises, but also we need clear position where a majority is in favor and a majority is against. And we can put this in a paper, or we can say, we have a consensus, but we have some footnote or we have some abstentions. But at the end, we need a result. We need this result. We own as national parliaments. At the end, we will reach nothing. And the European Parliament alone, at the end, it will also reach nothing. And therefore, we need a progress. And we have to be more optimistic and mutig. And we have also to be brave in this situation, in this real historical situation to discuss and not have the debates before the 21st of February.
Merci. Merci, chers collègues. Je crois que j'ai une dernière demande de prise de parole de Monsieur Yanis Bournous.
Dear colleagues, Mr. Yanis Bournous would like to take the floor.
Hello from Greece. Hello from Greece. Dear colleagues, this draft statement is a point of consensus. I personally and the political party I represent would like to see a bolder statement that pushes towards a closer and more democratic union, even if it opens the perspective to treaty change. I commend the contribution of the Italian Parliament, especially regarding increasing scrutiny powers of parliaments and the revised and more flexible Stability and Growth Pact, harmful tax competition among member states, and the proposals concerning common migration policy. I am also one of the co-signatories to support the amendments proposed by the European Trade Union Confederation. I can understand certain hesitations, especially coming from smaller states. In practice, there's a lack of equality between member states, but the way forward to address this concern is a more democratic, transparent, and accountable union that will reinforce trust between member states and between citizens and their union. I should remind our colleagues that the European Union is not simply an international organization of national sovereign states. It is a voluntary union of member states with duties and rights in this union. Few weeks ago, before the Russian aggression, it would be a grave mistake to ignore citizens' recommendations through procedural technicalities and the refusal to move forward. Now it will be a fatal mistake. if we do it now and turn our backs to our last chance to restore citizens' confidence to the Union. What's the reason of creating this conference? What's the reason of creating citizens' panels if at the end of this process, the Union sends what message? That we ignore their proposals? This would be a self-destructive step, a self-destructive ending for this process. Thank you.
Luis Capros Santos has asked for the floor.
Thanks. I would like to thank the efforts of the French presidency, but after reading the proposal of amendments we received and the different interventions in this meeting, we can conclude that consensus is very difficult. The Portuguese delegation thinks that maybe the only possibility we have to agree or the issues that are proposed, or at least some of them, we must approve our proposal. Or, as a second option, we can only approve the introductory statements. I think more than it is very difficult, and if a few number of members or a few members of delegations subscribes, I suppose it's not good for the parliamentarian institution's image. Then is our contribution. I would like to repeat, if we approve only the introductory statements, I think it will be possible a large consensus. Thanks, Jean-Pierre.
Micro.
Attendez. Oui, alors, pardon, il y a une dernière prise de parole. Désolé, j'avais un souci de micro. Il y a une dernière prise de parole de Madame Kaminga des Pays-Bas.
Kaminga would like to take the floor. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I had my hand on by accident. Excuse me for that.
No problem. Kasper Placinski, your hand was raised as well.
Yes, well, my friend Schaffer from Germany addressed his opinion also to my person. So, well, I strongly disagree. Well, we believe, and well, it's obvious for us that those changes are very, very far going. And yes, there are huge steps to establish a super state. And it's actually funny that you are saying that it's not true, or that we are making sentences that have no basis, when actually your current government in Germany has got it in officially political program to establish such kind of organization, super state, or like going further into the federalization of European Union. But well, I wanted to like share my wider views on what actually we could as a members of European parliaments, European national parliaments, establish. Well, of course, those institutional changes, it was obvious for me from the beginning, because we are talking with each other. So because of very different issues, but this letter from the beginning was just impossible to jointly accept it. It's very wide, it's very general, it's very far going, as I said you earlier. But for example, why not to manage higher transparency in European Union? Why do not influence European institutions to, for example, give us those so-called green cards? So for us, national parliament members, to be able to actually ask something directly European Commission or European Parliament or any other institutions, because right now it is actually quite theoretical. These institutions, which are presenting also us, are not able to answer questions very often for many months, actually, from my experience. And it is difficult to supervise also them. And we are also here to supervise them because we are the voice of our people. We are for supervising the power because we are the people in the parliaments, the most influenced, the most important democratic power actually. So that's one thing. Maybe let's just establish a small letter with just 2-3 points that we could really agree all of, like in the name of democracy, like, but real democracy, not propaganda. That would be something at least. And why not to say no to really this Russian white lobby in European Union? Because it is, for example, did you know that daughter of Kremlin's spokesperson, Pieskov, is an intern in European Parliament? From our point of view, it's ludicrous, it's ridiculous. There is a war, thousands of people are dying in Ukraine, and a lot of guys with Russian passports are just crossing these corridors of our institutions. And what, we are naive that they are not giving any kind of input, information to Kremlin, what is going on in the European Union. Transparency International, NGO, that I am sure that you that you know it's existing, actually. Half a year ago, gave up this report about European Parliament members that are making great money outside European Parliament, very often putting inside of their official declarations of their earnings, that they are, for example, making second wage from the European Parliament, even higher in numbers, and they are making it, giving some unnamed even think tanks lessons or giving consultations. What does it mean, giving some kind of consultations to any kind of think tank from a European Parliament member? From our point of view, it's ludicrous. After the ongoing war in Ukraine, we should change our perspective. We, our national parliaments, should change our seeing of European institutions, because right now they are fragile. We now know that they are very fragile from point of view Russian aggression. There are a lot of business is doing, of course, business is business, I understand that, but I from a... Sure,
I think this is not the topic, please.
So my proposal is, because today we are talking about making some kind of proposal from national parliaments, let's build a smaller document that will only gather those examples of issues that are able to manage under current treaties that are obvious in the sense of democracy, transparency in European Union, and for example, abolish Russians from working for European institutions, because how it is right now, it is just ludicrous from our point of view. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mary Higgins would like to take the floor. Go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Apologies as I'm kind of in transit, so the signal may go. I'm conscious this conversation, I think, is going to go on. We're going to have it, obviously, again on Thursday. And in for the purposes of being constructive, I am one of those who had a lot of concerns in relation to the statement that arrived in. And I did see it as an overreach in relationship to the process and the citizens' process. But that doesn't mean that there shouldn't be potentially a role for a statement from either a joint statement, or it may need to be separate ones from MEPs and national parliamentarians. You can see how that is. But I think what's going to be really important is that we relate it back to what has emerged from the citizens' process. And the timing is really important. So if you listen to the points, I mean, there's some, you know, strong points, you know, for or against that you're hearing, but also a lot of points which are saying things like, for example, shouldn't we be responding to the citizens' recommendations? Many of the points which I would personally support, and I personally, and again, I can't speak for my fellow national parliamentarians, but many of the points, for example, the European Parliament's power to initiate legislation, which I think is a good idea, that has been made as a recommendation from the citizens. So I think we should be tying it back to those recommendations and building on that. Again, there's been recommendations on the digital platform around putting a legal basis to the Charter of Fundamental Rights, which again, that does involve a change, but it's something that has come through the process strongly. And I'm conscious, of course, that Ireland and the UK were the two countries who blocked that originally. So I'm keen to see that rectified. So there's lots of views we might have. But the core point, I think, here is there is a process underway and the citizens have put forward recommendations. And the document that came to us very much seemed as a cherry picking of a few positions. The elevation, for example, of common defence to centre stage, even though there was quite modulated messages from the citizens in respect of that. And I think it was a little bit of an overreach, that document, in how it was framed, in what it put forward, in the idea that you could select four or five issues that perhaps have been maybe center stage for a few of the drafters of the letter, but aren't really reflecting. And I think tying, if we are to come with a joint statement, and I hope that we might be able to get to one, I think it will have to be really clear where it ties in to the recommendations that came from citizens. It doesn't have to be exactly them, but it needs to be at least responding to them and engaging with them. And it needs to not undermine the process, where I hope, for example, you know, that we may even get a plenary decision or certainly working group decisions to really give a strong mandate that it works across parliaments and across the citizens to key recommendations. And I think we just need to look very carefully. And I think some of the parts, again, there's procedural issues and there are policy issues. So on some of the procedural issues, again, those procedural issues have been covered by many recommendations from the citizens. We can respond to and build on that. I think that's one where we might be able to get more progress, because I think there's a lot of common desire for a strengthened parliamentary voice at both European and national level and engagement, so that all of us are in this process because we care about Europe and we want to engage those citizens we represent to have more engagement and voice and connection with Europe. I think that part is more going to be possibly more achievable. In terms of common policy priorities, I saw that as quite difficult. And I know, for example, even within our delegation from Ireland, there would be diverse positions on a number of the proposals that were put forward, even amongst just the four of us. So, you know, again, I think there's scope for moving forward, but I think that the document that came through was an overreach in how it was framed. And I think it's really important that we don't seem to undermine or sideline the process. And I would also point out that some of the language, even in those opening paragraphs, was somewhat problematic. I think some of the phrasing of, you know, the refugee crisis as a thing that happened to Europe when, it's a humanitarian crisis, for example, in Syria and now in Ukraine. I think we need to be sensitive in some of the language that we use as well on that. So again, looking forward to further discussions on Thursday. I think splitting it into procedures and policy may be one thing, and the other thing is to look to the timing and to look to a more authentic relationship between these draft statements and the citizens' process is going to be key to having constructive steps forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Gabriela Cretun from Romania.
Thank you very much. Dear friends, for quite opposite reasons than some of my right sovereignist colleagues. I have reserves concerning the draft of statement proposed, excepting perhaps the first part, because I do believe that only political movement and organizations proposing consistent projects of society could change Europe and could change relations at the global level. Institutions cannot do it because, look, we try to kill actually our difference. And it is a huge difference between me, myself, a federalist, thinking that European Union is not at all a super state, but it is a common market working mostly for big business sector and less for a part of citizens. And I'd like to change this reality, but I don't understand our, how to say, frustration, because if the council is the elephant in the room, being less transparent and preventing changes to be made, preventing any change concerning treaties, etc. In this case, that means that us, national parliaments, we are weak because our representatives in the council cannot decide in democracy very different than they have been mandated for. Because in all our member states, national parliaments have the right constitutionally and the obligation to give a mandate for important issues to the representative in the council and to scrutinize the application, the implementation. So I do believe that from this point of view, we have power. We have to put in place our power, how to say, but there are other issues we cannot and cannot be done still at the European level. And for me, reaching a compromise somewhere in the middle between myself and my former colleague, it is supporting statu quo. And statu quo doesn't work anymore. We need a change. So we need, however, more discussions among us, because we cannot speak as national parliaments. We are representative from national parliaments, but there is no such a declaration. I speak for myself because I have in all liberal democracies, imperative mandate is forbidden. So I speak for myself and of course for those thinking as myself. We could finally have a statement, but with the first part perhaps, and not entering on policies, what is different among us. Some of us wants social Europe. Some of us want deepening single market. This is a more serious political issue we have to discuss seriously, because we have this experience and we know that we cannot find a solution from yesterday to today, how to say, in a day. Taking decisions when a crisis is happening it's not the wisest thing. Only on short term. For the long term, we have to think more deeply. Thank you.
Thank you. I give the floor to Mr. Igor Pimenov.
Yes, good evening, colleagues. Hopefully, I hear me well. I'm going to be brief. May remind you the proposal of our colleague from Portugal, Mr. Luís Capulos Santos. I hope I pronounce his name correctly. He proposed if it is not possible just to achieve the consensus among the representatives of the parliamentary delegations from the member states, to approve at least at the only introductory statements of the general statement of our unity. Perhaps it's possible, since the introductory statements pronounce precisely the general trends of evaluation of our union to become not a unified state, but really a stronger state with more opportunities for each particular member state, mentioning both greater, larger states, economically more powerful, and those who are smaller and seem to be afraid now looking at this draft statement. So once again, approve only introductory statements. I believe it is a good idea. Thank you so much indeed.
Thank you. I don't see other requests for the floor. I can't see everyone, but it seems that no one else would like to take the floor. Is there anyone else? Yes, Mr. Omerku.
Yes, thank you very much. And like in fairness, everything has been said at this stage. I'm just going to, because I've been here, I'm going to add my voice. I'd agree with what Alice Mary Higgins said, that it's an overreach. We probably wouldn't get agreement in half the stuff we have in relation to common policies with the people who are on this meeting, never mind anything else. And I believe on that I would also have the same worries about that we're coming out with a statement at this point in time that could, you know, wouldn't necessarily sit that well with, you know, the citizens. So I would think if we're going to go ahead with anything, it would need to be very, very different. And again, there will be incredible difficulties if people want an all-encompassing almost policy document such as this. And within that, there's huge ambiguities and all the rest of it. And I'm sure we could have multiple hours of fun and rouse in relation to what we don't agree with. So look, what exists at the minute, I don't think is a goer for most people. It certainly isn't anything that I could sign off on. And if we are looking at something, it would have to be a hell of a lot, you know, shorter to the point and probably, you know, very general. There are obviously huge amounts of things we can all agree with, particularly in the present circumstances. But I'm back to, there needs to be a point to whatever statement we're making. And so at this point in time, this doesn't work for me, or it seems for most other people. So Xin Xin, I won't hold that anymore by repeating what others have already said.
Are there any other requests for the floor? Jean-Vetsky.
Dear Chairman, I would like to join other delegation who already expressed their reservation regarding the proposed joint statement. Promoting certain topics before the executive board adopts the final report of the conference, it could be counterproductive for managing the expectation of citizens. Very shortly, and thank you.
Thank you very much. I see one last request for the floor, Boris Lavantonov.
I would not like to indulge on any particular topic or any particular point, because it's good to see topics on which we agree or others on which we agree to disagree. And the important thing here is that all of us, national or European parliaments, we represent our citizens. And there's, to sum it up, there's basically two issues on which we should concentrate. First, it is the issue of seeing the degree of representativity versus efficiency of the decision-making process, and on where we put the citizens as opposed to the decision-making bodies. Of course, all of us members of the national parliaments, we represent part of the territory of each state, member state, and part of the electorate as well. If we aim for a greater representativity, the more territories and the more different opinions of people should be expressed. And if we aim for efficiency, of course, we would narrow down to a couple of points where, you know, we decide in concert probably with the citizens, but with some degree of, you know, of authority as well, of the bodies. So the big question here is, what are the tools and what are the ways of expressing the wider opinions of the populations, while at the same time respecting some formal decision-making process, and while trying to make Europe both efficient and transparent. We see that with the current crisis that has occurred in Ukraine, we need to have fast decisions. On the other hand, we need to have decisions that are adopted by the populations. So what we need here, therefore, is a fast decision-making process that should include the citizens, but that would not prevent Europe from working. And I believe at the current age of information technology, we might have the tools of combining the deliberative part of democracy with some kind of representative democracy. So there might be a policy shift that is occurring here, and a shift of way of the way we think about Europe, and what is this certaine idée de l'Europe that all of us representatives we have, but that also the citizens have at the same time. So I don't know if you understood me, but that was my contribution. Thank you.
Merci. Je ne sais pas, Pierre-Alexandre, tu vois d'autres prises de parole? Moi, je n'en vois pas.
The floor. Yes, Mihaela Greer. Oh, it must be a mistake. I can't hear you, Mihaela Greer. You have the floor. Right. Well, if no one else would like to take the floor, I think that it was very important for us to have this discussion and this meeting. There's about 90 of us taking part to this meeting. So it was very important for all of us to have a say. I heard those of you saying that we need more time, and I understand it. I believe that Thursday's meeting will be a key moment, as will be a meeting with our colleagues from the European Parliament, and I do hope that you'll be able to attend this meeting as well. it will be very important that we get to hear the European Parliament's opinion on these issues. I do understand as well that you
de rejet vis-à-vis des propositions d'ouverture que nous faisons au Parlement européen, et je le comprends aussi, mais sachez aussi, et je dois vous le dire, que dans les panels citoyens, aucun mot n'est porté à l'égard des parlements nationaux. Donc il faut quand même savoir que nos concitoyens, et c'est normal sur une conférence sur l'avenir de l'Europe, ne conçoivent que l'avenir de l'Europe ne passe que par le Parlement européen. Donc je pense qu'il est essentiel aussi que nous ayons à intégrer la discussion. Donc texte de compromis ou pas, nous verrons. Texte de consensus ou pas, nous verrons. Mais je crois que si nous voulons garder aussi la force de ce que nous proposons en tant que parlements nationaux, il faudra aussi entendre ce qu'ont à dire les parlementaires européens. En tout cas, c'est ce que je pense, c'est ce que je ressens des discussions que j'ai pu avoir avec les parlementaires européens, qui eux, je le pense, au sein des groupes politiques, ont trouvé des compromis, peut-être plus facilement que nous, sur les éléments qu'ils vont proposer. Donc, soyons attentifs. On ne peut pas tout accepter, tout entendre, bien sûr, mais nous devons rester soudés, en tout cas en tant que parlementaires nationaux, de ce que j'ai entendu ce soir, en tout cas des différentes prises de parole qui ont été engagées. Voilà ce que je souhaitais vous dire en vous réincitant, je pense, jeudi, à être les plus présents possibles dans cette discussion que nous aurons avec les parlementaires européens. Je vous remercie, je laisse la parole à Pierre-Alexandre.
Merci cher Jean-François. Peut-être un dernier mot pour vous remercier très chaleureusement de toutes vos contributions et de l'apport à cette discussion. Je crois qu'effectivement, c'est important que nous puissions nous dire les choses les yeux dans les yeux. Et moi, j'ai entendu ce que vous aviez à nous dire sur la volonté de renforcer les parlements nationaux et leur rôle dans le mécanisme institutionnel que nous avons à construire, et je partage bien évidemment cette ambition. Mais je vous mets en garde, comme le président Rapin l'a fait, j'ai entendu beaucoup d'entre vous se référer à ce que les citoyens pourraient dire. Et la position des citoyens, mes chers collègues, on la connaît de façon extrêmement claire, et maintenant depuis plusieurs semaines. C'est-à-dire, chacun des groupes de travail a eu deux rapports exprimant assez clairement la position des citoyens. L'ensemble des citoyens dans les États membres ont aussi rendu un certain nombre de contributions. Donc attention à ne pas entrer en contradiction avec ce que pourraient vouloir les citoyens qui ne font pas référence aux parlements nationaux et ce que nous pourrions nous-mêmes avoir envie de porter. Deuxièmement, moi j'entends aussi la volonté de coller au plus près de cette position des citoyens. Mais il y a des centaines de propositions qui ont été faites. Et donc, nous, notre responsabilité en tant que parlementaires, c'est aussi de faire valoir une position des parlementaires. Et c'est d'ailleurs à ça qu'on sert. C'est-à-dire que vous avez une composante Parlement européen, une composante Parlement nationaux, une composante qui représente la société civile et donc quelque part les citoyens. Et donc, nous avons aussi, nous, légitimement, à faire entendre notre voix. La conférence sur l'avenir de l'Europe, elle donne une place importante aux citoyens, mais pas exclusive. Et donc, dans ce sens, moi, je considère que c'est important que nous puissions construire une position commune avec le Parlement européen, essayer d'atteindre le consensus le plus large, même si on voit bien que ce sera difficile, et de continuer à travailler dans ce sens. C'est tout l'objet de la réunion de jeudi. Donc, moi, je vous encourage à participer fortement jeudi à cette réunion. Et en même temps, avoir la plus haute ambition. Parce que parfois, j'ai le sentiment que la conférence pour l'avenir de l'Europe, ce n'est pas la conférence du statu quo de l'Europe. C'est la conférence pour construire un projet européen adapté au XXIe siècle et adapté aux défis qui sont les nôtres. Et donc, c'est aussi à nous, en tant que représentants des parlements nationaux, d'être à la hauteur de cette responsabilité. Je crois que tout le monde en est conscient, vous l'avez dit aujourd'hui. Donc, continuons à travailler sur ce chemin de l'ambition qui est, à mon sens, le seul valable dans le moment que notre Union est en train de traverser. Voilà ce que je voulais vous dire. Et donc, pour la marche à suivre, pour l'agenda, on se retrouve jeudi il me semble, en fin d'après-midi, 17h30, si je ne me trompe pas, et nous pourrons continuer nos discussions avec nos collègues parlementaires nationaux, avec la volonté d'aboutir peut-être à un texte commun. En tout cas, c'est l'ambition que j'ai avec beaucoup de collègues. Voilà. Merci beaucoup pour votre participation et je vous souhaite une bonne soirée. À bientôt.
Jeudi.
Thank you.
Thank you.